Hey, this is Shane Malcolm.
And this is Jordan Schweitzer.
We're the creators of Boot Bags.
Fashionable, durable, washable. Boot Bags are the most convenient way to carry your cleats to and from training or games. Check us out at bootbags.us.
You're listening to the Forest Fancast Podcast.
Following a disappointing first-round exit from the Carabao Cup, Nottingham Forest began their 2020-21 English Football League Championship campaign being kicked in the arse at Loftus Road. Does this talented red squad need time to bed in? Or is this spluttering start a sign of things to come? We'll discuss all of that and more on your Forest by Numbers. No, wait, I said that. I mean, over the Trent. No, Forest Ramble. Wait a second, which podcast is this? Of course, it's your Forest Fancast. I'm Mark, one of your hosts of Forest Fancast. In this episode, we've significantly enhanced the starting lineup, adding much needed attacking flair. Rejoining me this week, Big Wes. Hey, Big Wes.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
And we have some royal treatment. In the guise of, she's never heard that before. In the guise of
never
Holly,
heard that
Holly Royal. Hey, Holly, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, Mark?
Doing well.
Nice to be here.
Well, you made your appearance in what would be the equivalent of the Carabao Cup for us back in the spring. Now you're making your full professional league debut on the pod.
Got my squad number and I'm raring to go.
Excellent, excellent. Are you, is your number, is it in the teens or is it in the high 40s?
Oh, I'd like to say in the teens, actually. I kind of, you know, want to pretend that I'm still young. You know, have a lower number, I think.
Excellent. Good. You're backing yourself. I like it. Which reminds me, the squad numbers came out this week. No number one, which is odd to me. You would think Samba, who I think by now we've realised has a bit of an ego, just a little bit of an ego. The fact he wouldn't want number one is surprising to me. And I'm wondering if all the other goalkeepers were told if the recognized starter doesn't have it, you really can't wear it. That's kind of weird, isn't it, guys? It seems strange not to have a number one at Forest.
I wonder if he said that. He said, I'm not taking number one and none of you guys can have it either. Just because.
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that for sure. All right, guys. Well, I often said you can't see the woods for the trees, but we're going to take a look at Nottingham Forest through the trees that, in this case, are Forest-related updates of the last couple of weeks. We're going to hone in on a couple of newsworthy pieces before we spend the bulk of our time talking about recent games. The season has, of course, kicked off both Cup and League, and so we'll spend a little bit of time on Barnsley, but just a very little bit, before transitioning to the league launch in London. So, as far as news is concerned, folks, who has what?
Well, I guess I'll kick off with a new signing that I am reserving. I started off last time we talked excited about everything. I've since kind of refined that, and I am going to reserve judgment for everything moving forward. But I am hopeful about the signing. Young guy we got from PSG, right? Luka Bissau, I think is his name. I think that's how you pronounce it, rather. So I'm anxious to see what his contribution is going to be. It's maybe speaks highly of the future. We got a lot of young guys that are you know, we're able to develop in what I hope will be a team for contention down the line. But again, we'll see how this young guy comes and adds his flair to Forest.
Yeah, I think the most challenging thing right out the gate is knowing how to pronounce his name, right? Because I've heard other podcasts refer to So as Sow. It is So, people. I don't know if this kid is a So or a Sow. The spelling is different, but 19-year-old out of PSG, Cameroonian descent, although he is a French under-19 international. Holly, what are your thoughts on this latest acquisition?
I think it's great that we've got someone that came through the PSG Academy. He's a centre back, isn't he? He's a full back. No, not a full back, he's a centre back.
No, actually, he's both. You're right. He's both.
Yeah,
he's a recognised centre-back, but he has played some at right-back. He's only made three appearances for PSG's first team, and I think they're all at right-back.
Yeah. I mean, I like the fact that Sabri's bringing in some, you know, some strong sort of defensive options this year. We had a bit of a catastrophe at the end of last year with, I know Joe Worrell was kind of blamed for a lot, and Figgs kind of went off the boil a little bit. And I just like the thought of someone, you know, kind of bit of international flair, kind of, you know, bringing something different, wanting to play, you know, abroad and test the water over here. So, yeah, no, I'm excited to see what he brings to the table, really.
Yeah, me too. And I think to Big Wes's point as well, Forest do seem to be stockpiling some really good young talent. We know that Gary Brazil and the team have done an incredible job with Forest's academy over the last few years, the emergence of Ollie Burke and Ryan Yates and Matty Cash and one or two others. Of course, we have Brennan Johnson, Alex Mighton, obviously Yates started against QPR. And then, of course, we have Lewis McGuain as well, who came out of Arsenal and Barcelona and is currently on loan with Oxford United, apparently doing pretty well. So here we have another hot young talent. Evidently, he was nominated for the 2020 Golden Boy Award, which I don't know what that is. That sounds amazing. I don't even know if that's football related, honestly, but...
Golden Boy, it sounds like some sort of geriatric award, doesn't it?
It does sound at the other end of the spectrum. Yeah, it's a little misleading.
Golden Boy, I heard that one.
But as I mentioned, he's made three appearances for PSG already. Actually scored a goal in a heavy victory they had. I think it was a 7-1 victory, or I can't remember who it was against now. But nonetheless, somebody who is emerging and is on the fringes of a team that played in the Champions League final just a few weeks ago. So it seems like a really good pickup by Forrest.
Yeah, Mark, and I just want to toss in something really quickly in talking about young players, and I am hopefully won't raise the ire of Twitter too much by coming to Ryan Yates' defense, but y'all give that poor fellow a break, man.
Yes, I'm with you.
My buddy is catching hell on Twitter, especially, man, and I think you got to give him a chance to come into his own, right? And I think he'll get there, but my Lord, he's learning to if he's paying attention to Twitter, he's learning to deal with criticism really quickly, I think.
Yeah. Anyone who's been a regular listener of the show knows where I stand on Yates. And I get so frustrated when I see the comments on Twitter. One tweeter came back at me and suggested that, you know, he plays in the team alongside Colback, and Colback is so much better. And so by definition, that exposes Yates and his shortcomings. And like, Jack Colback, former Premier League footballer, is better than a young player whose second season in the team. Gosh, who would have thought that? My favorite, though, I think my favorite tweet yesterday was somebody had tweeted out, Lewis Graben misses, you know, second open goal opportunity. Forest fan base go, for fuck's sake, Yates.
Yeah, I think I saw that one.
Anyhow, my piece of news, guys, is in regards to the stadium development, or lack thereof right now, for obvious reasons. Phase one has been put on hold. Phase one was supposed to be rebuilding the Peter Taylor stand. And of course, that was going to have impact on season ticket holders. Again, that's not anything we need to concern ourselves with for the time being, I guess, with COVID and all of that work being put on hold. Although there was an interesting footnote to that, in that there were revised plans submitted to the council that now include building a residential tower block, which is kind of interesting as well. So it's going to be fascinating to see what this ultimately ends up looking like, what this new stadium and all the associated facilities and perhaps residential components are going to look like. Holly, you obviously are a more frequent visitor to the City Ground than Wes or I. What are your thoughts on the plans in regards to developing the stadium?
Well, this new residential building that they're on about, I don't know exactly where this is meant to be, because for ages they were renovating the old council building, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And that looked like it had pretty much been finished last time I was there. I mean, I can't wait for it to happen, to be honest. Like, seeing all those plans, just I could feel the atmosphere, you know. I mean, we've already got that absolutely idyllic kind of setting, you know, as you walk over Trent Bridge. And just to kind of build on that, I'm really, really, really excited for that. Can't wait for it to happen. It's such a shame with the whole COVID thing and everything. And obviously all the planning permission that it's been put back. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's really going to add. We just need to do that last little piece of the puzzle and get to the Premier League and have the Premier League ground. And, you know, when the Sky cameras pan across the Trent into that wonderful stadium, you know, with all those facilities, not the red and the white. Oh, I can see it now. I've got goosebumps thinking about it. I'm not nostalgic at all.
It's a shame that this is exclusively an audio medium, because I wish folks could see the video that Wes and I could see right now. Holly is bouncing up and down, throwing her arms around, big smile on her face. You know, if Forest make it back to the Premier League, one of the benefits of this redevelopment, of course, is the expansion to a capacity of 38,000. It certainly would be lovely to see that on the banks of the Trent. Holly, was that important to you to see Forest retain that location? Because, of course, there were suggestions that the stadium may be elsewhere because the expansive footprint may require for the stadium to move. But the fact that Forest are staying in their home, essentially, was that important to you?
Oh, massive. I mean, there's no stadium quite like that. I mean, obviously we're biased, but as I said before, you know, the setting on the Trent is absolutely beautiful. And for me personally, like, you know, the first time I ever went to the City Ground as a kid, I did the junior red soccer schools in the early 90s. And I remember watching the team train, walking up, going into the stadium, going past the stadium. And it was just that kind of sense of, I don't know, that feeling. There was something about it, just the Trent and the whole building, just the history and everything. And I think it would absolutely break my heart if Forest ended up, you know, moving to one of those flat pack stadiums that have got absolutely no soul. I mean, not naming any names, but probably currently, but you know, but yeah, no, I'm absolutely delighted that we're staying there. I think we've got one of the best grounds in the country, and if we build on that with these new developments, I mean, it's going to be top drawer, isn't it? And something to be proud of. So I'm already proud of it. You know, everyone always remarks what a beautiful ground it is, and they love coming to the away games there, and just the whole city as well. So I think it's brilliant that we're staying at the
city. Yeah, I agree too.
But, if the residential does happen, I'm hoping that somebody will open an Airbnb inside of it. So that's my plug for the happening. Somebody make an Airbnb happen.
That's a great idea. Hey guys, one final thing before we go into the games. I know we don't want to get into the weeds on this too much. One of the reasons is I want to involve Jordan in this conversation because I know he has opinions. But the club announced this week their response to the season ticket situation, obviously with fans not being allowed back into the stadiums, at least en masse, for, well, we don't know for how long. Forest offered up several different options in regards to those, what you can do with your season tickets and going into a drawing and having access to iFollow and just all various, and obviously a refund is one of the, none of the options seem to make anybody happy. I didn't see anyone on Twitter saying, you know, Forest nailed it. Everybody seemed to have an issue with just about everything that was being offered. Again, I want to make sure we roll Jordan into this conversation. So maybe not getting into the weeds as to what the club are offering. Everybody knows that. But I was wondering, guys, if you had an opinion on what you'd feel like would be a good option. If you're a season ticket holder, as you are, Holly, at the City Ground, you know, what do you feel like is the best, fair, most fair and reasonable option to be offering fans at this time?
That's a really good question. I think one of the things I've noticed as a season ticket holder and sort of, you know, making friends along the way as a Forest fan is that we have fans, as we all know, I mean, this is testament to this podcast, from literally all over the place, all over the world, all over Britain. You know, the guy that sits two seats down from me comes from Northern Ireland. He flies in from Northern Ireland for every single home game. There's people that come from Cornwall, you know. And for a lot of these people, and myself included, you know, trying to plan travel is one of the things that I can't really do last minute kind of travel options. So traveling up from London, I'd always get advanced book seats, knowing that, I've got my season ticket, so it's always going to be there. So to have a last minute kind of ballot thing just wouldn't work for me financially. So for me, it looks like it's going to be iFollow, but I'm kind of fine with that personally, because this season, and obviously the end of last season, it's so weird. It doesn't really feel quite the same for me. I mean, my love for Forest is still there, of course. The pain for Forest is still there. But, you know, it's when we can all be in the stadium and we can all have that match day routine that we all have, no matter what we're doing, I think that's when it's going to really feel like proper football again for me. I mean, I'm trying to make the best of it, but back to your question. I mean, I don't think there's an easy option to cater for everyone. It's such an unprecedented, you know, kind of situation. It must be really, really hard for the powers that be to you know, please everyone. So,
yeah, I'm in agreement with you. Wes, what are your thoughts on this? Obviously, you and I are in the same boat. We don't have the ability to get to the City Ground regularly. But what are your thoughts on what you've been seeing on social media and perhaps options moving forward?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to have to defend myself and beat Jordan back for being a iFollow subscriber. I think that, you know, with where we are in the world today, iFollow just seems to be the most viable option for everyone all the way around. The last game I didn't experience any of the glitches and the outages we did, you know, trying to get iFollow on a larger basis. So I'm hopeful that, you know, iFollow will keep sustaining everybody. And I know Jordan did like this algebraic formula about how it all breaks down money-wise, but I think that, you know, in the teams, to their defense, they have to find creative ways to make up some of that money somehow. And they're going to pass that along in iFollow subscriptions as well. Yeah. So I kind of get that. But I think that that's, if I were able to advise the team, I think that I would kind of push that as the option, because that's the most accessible to everybody. That puts us kind of around the world on the same playing field. So, yep. I think that would be my option.
All right. Let's move on to a kickabout, guys. We're going to kick about these games. We have two to hone in on. But like I said, we're just going to spend a few moments on the first. I don't think anybody put much truck in the Carabao Cup. I think secretly most Forest fans were happy to see the back of it. But we did rather go out with a whimper against Barnsley, having lost 1-0 at Barnsley, a 49th minute goal from Corley Woodrow settling the match. For me, at least, less notable were the exclusions. I was actually more focused on the unusual starters. So Jordan Gabriel coming in for the recently departed Matty Cash. We're going to gloss over that one. I don't want Holly crying on the podcast.
And I'm still not over it anyway. Less said about that, the better.
And a rare start for João Carvalho, who I think I'm right in saying this. And if I'm not, I'm quite certain Twitter will be ablaze and I'll be corrected within 30 seconds of folks hearing this. But I think this was Carvalho's first start this calendar year. If it wasn't, it was the first of very, very few. It looked like, despite starting with a weaker 11 than maybe we considered to be the best we could put out, subs were dispatched in an effort, I think, to try and rescue the game late on. It didn't happen. Any brief observations regarding this, guys? I mean, were you happy to see the back of the cup? I mean, secretly, are you glad it's out the way? Or are you kind of bummed out that that's how Forest start their season?
So I often wonder, and who knows what goes through Sabri's mind, right? But I wonder how we approach cup matches. Is it, you know, do we use them as a test ground and not put everything forward? Do we give that, use that as an opportunity to see how different looks and different people and different shapes are going to fare out? So maybe it was, so my optimistic side says maybe that was just a test to see, you know, what kind of options we have. I am glad, when it comes to cups, you know, it's good, of course, to see them play, but they can be a distraction. I don't want to see anybody hurt and affect the season, you know, having a mix in the cup. So I'm okay with exiting.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Wes, actually, because I think there's some cup games where you really want, as Savory, obviously, to put out our best 11, and somewhat like on last week, we're not too bothered. I mean, I remember the game against Arsenal last season when we played them at the Emirates, and I think we were doing pretty well at the time, and I really wanted them to put out our best 11 and really give us a go. And, you know, we lose 5-0. Puts out a weakened team. Okay, he's played some of the youngsters, which is great. I mean, one of the good things about that game was Alex Martin and Jordan Gabriel. But yeah, I think last Saturday, to be honest, I agree with you. I think it's a distraction that we didn't need. I think it would have been good to kind of have that first win post the end of last season. And I still kind of feel that's what we need to get to chalk that first win on the board, just to get our confidence back up. But for me, not too bothered, to be honest. And I think Barnsley are a bit of a bogey team at the moment as well, they're proving to be. So quite glad to see the back of that game, really.
Yeah, they certainly are. They certainly are. But the flip side for me is when you lose to a team that are considered to be one of the weaker teams in your own division, and that's how you start your season, you know, you are starting off on the wrong foot. I think mentally that doesn't put you in a particularly healthy place. That being said, I'm a hypocrite. I'm glad to see the back of the cup. I'm a purist. I love to see progress in the FA Cup. We have no chance of winning either, so I don't suppose it much matters, but if I'm going to put my, you know, my big eggs in one basket, it's for me at least, it's going to be the FA Cup. So it's disappointing that we didn't score. It's disappointing we didn't put up more of a fight. And I think it's disappointing to lose to one of the weaker teams in our own division. But I think in balance, glad to see the back of this game. What do you guys think about the inclusion of Carvo? King Carvo back in the starting lineup, played an hour. By all accounts, played well, was a bright spot in the performance. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I was really glad to see him back in there. He's a difficult one, isn't he? Because I think we all want him to start. We all want him to do really, really well. He's got so much in his locker. He's got so much potential. At the end of the day, we spent a hell of a lot of money for him, and we just want him to come in, you know, hit the ground running again this season and, you know, just show us some magic and give us that number 10 edge that we really, really need. And, yeah, it's a bit disappointing that it didn't quite work, but I was really pleased to see him in the starting 11, definitely.
Yeah, that's a good point, Ali. I agree that he is just one of those guys that you really just root for, right? You just want to see him do well. It also goes back to that whole, are we becoming a defensive-minded team now, right? Is that who we are as a team now to have him, in, like you said, only, an hour or so, you said? But he is absolutely one of the guys that just fundamentally I just pull for the hope. I want to see him do well.
So that brings us nicely onto our first league game, because criticisms are already being leveled at Sabri and the team for a defensive-minded approach to this game against QPR. We'll come on to the stats here in just a moment, but let's give you guys the quick snapshot with no backlift. It was a 2-0 defeat in London. Hey, Holly, how far is Loftus Road from you?
I don't actually know how many miles, but it's quite a way. I'm in South London. I did have a thought. Should I just do this ultimate fangirl thing and stand outside Loftus Road with my Forest flag? I'm too old for that. I thought better of it.
So our starting 11 had a couple of surprises. Nothing really to blow people's minds, but there was some controversy, I suppose, if you listen to Twitter. In goal, Samba. There's no controversy in that. At left back, Blackett in place of Ribeiro. Figueiredo and Worrell were our centre-back partnership, with Gabriel in at right back. Colback and Yates were our defensive midfield pairing, with Freeman taking up the whole. I actually missed the first 10 minutes of the match, so I'm looking at players here and I see Da Costa and Lolly on the team sheet. I'm assuming they started in wide positions. I know there was some movement throughout the first half, but Da Costa and Lolly taking up the wide positions, Graben at the point, and Wes, you'll be happy to hear, he was skipper as well. Wes called that in the last podcast.
I did call it.
So a very ponderous first half for both teams, really. Both had a couple of half chances. Forrest's best being a great cross from Blackett that Lolly and Graben seemed to be fighting over. I think it was Lolly that ultimately got the header, glanced header, just wide. QPR had a decent chance as well, so a nice passage of passing play, actually, and weren't able to connect with the final ball across the face of the goal. Figs conceded a PK at 54 minutes, taking down Dykes, who dusted himself off and then dispatched the penalty kick. And then Forrest actually finally woke up. Amiobi was subbed in and really sparked Forest's attacking verve. All of a sudden, we look like a different team. Amiobi creating chances for himself. Yates hit the frame. Graben should have scored from 5 yards out. And then again with 10 minutes to go. And then again in injury time. Despite Sabri's best efforts to inject even more attacking verve into the team, subbing in Taylor and Mighton, Forest actually went the entire 90 minutes without getting a shot on target. So a little disappointing all in all. The game rounded out with some sloppy defence, poor attempted clearance, a good save from Samba off the inbound shot, but he was only able to parry it into the path of Chair, who settled the game 2-0. Graben said at the end of the match, "It's important to get that winning feeling back. We need to start doing our job this season and win games. I am disappointed. I would have liked to have scored at least one today. It's a big thing for us. We need to keep that intensity and put in a good performance from the start to the end. If we can try and take that second half into the beginning and throughout the whole game next week, then we should be fine." So 2-0, Forest start their season with a defeat. Guys, pick the bones out of that one.
So to me, this was a tale of two halves, right? We were just, I don't know a good word, sluggish, I think, dead in the water that first half. And I think bringing Amiobi on was a spark that we needed, right? The game literally picked up at that point. And you can just see the difference in the intensity, I think, in the fight that we had, the drive. What I would say to Graben's comments is, as much as I totally agree with what he said, I think he should substitute the word "I" for "we," right? He took a lot of that sentiment that he expressed, I think, was on his shoulders, right? You are the guy that when the ball is lobbed 5 yards out, you should be converting that. I try not to come down too hard on players because I love my squad, but a lot of that was on my man for just simply not converting, and that's why he was out there. And it hurts me even more that the last time I was on, I gave him the armband, right? And then you go out and miss some golden opportunities for us. And my last point is, would it be a Forest match if we didn't concede in injury time?
Oh, my heavens.
That's just kind of what we do.
Everything changes. Everything stays the same, right?
What did happen this time? I was like, there we go. That's my squad. So I would have liked to see the second half, like the entire game, and maybe our chances would have been a lot better. Mm-hmm. That intensity, I mean, from us.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if this period, this particular period for Forest was akin to a blockbuster film, it would probably be The Hangover. I kind of feel like we still have a hangover from the end of last season. I feel there's kind of a sluggishness, there's a lack of confidence, especially in Graben. Obviously, you know, Sabri started him over Lyle Taylor because he's his man, he's his captain, rightfully so. I think Lyle's still got to prove himself. He's come here with a lot of expectation, but you know, Graben, he's still our bags man, isn't he? So, and you would expect him to have put at least one of those opportunities away. But yeah, I wanted to see us coming out the blocks, just going for it, being a lot more offensive, just really, really going for it and just getting that passing play together that we've seen, that like at Fulham last season away, that beautiful goal that we scored, that kind of level. But we just seem very sluggish, very kind of tentative, not a lot of energy, just sort of going through the motions in a way. And yeah, it was really disappointing. I think especially when we went behind, it was kind of that inevitability of, oh no, whenever we go behind, we can't come back from it. It's just kind of like a nail in our coffin, really. And there's a crazy stat, which I'm not going to quote because I don't actually know and I don't have it in front of me, but the amount of games where, I think Steve Hodge might have quoted it on the radio yesterday, in regards to the amount of games where we've gone behind and we've not gone on to win the game. I think it's kind of like 2 in 27 or something ridiculous like that. So, yeah, when Figgs conceded that penalty, it was kind of like, oh, here we go again. And I think as fans collectively, and especially on Twitter, everyone, there was just that utter dismay and everyone was so angry and just catastrophizing it because you know, it's kind of like deja vu. It's like, here we are again, you know. We're all still really, really, you know, suffering from the end of last season's disappointment, let's face it. And we just want that win, guys. We just want a win against a team like QPR. No disrespect, but they weren't anything special yesterday, no. From what I can tell. I listened to the game. I didn't actually buy iFollow, so I listened to Colin Frey. And of all accounts, you know, I think they've lost a few players this season as well. So, yeah, we deserved at least a draw out of that game. So really, really disappointed. But, you know, what can we say, really? It's that hangover.
So that's broad strokes, guys. I think there's some good observations in there. I want to kind of dive a little deeper into a few things. You know, we were talking about stats there for a second, Holly. The stat that jumps out at me, the one that's perhaps most troubling, particularly when you have so much attacking talent in this team, is how do we go 90 minutes against a team like QPR? We all agree, I think, have a really good concerted period of attack for 20, 25, 30 minutes and still not register a shot on target. I mean, how do you do that? Silence, which is the right answer, by the way.
that was our difficulty last season. We didn't score a lot of goals last season, did we?
Mm.
We were winning games like 1-0 or, you know, 2-1 or something like that. I mean, I know we were really struggling with our options up front last season, and I think it's kind of like a knock-on effect from that, really, like a hangover of expectation, because we've always got this expectation, and we had that expectation at the end of last season, and it came crashing down on us. And I think as soon as we score that first goal, I think the whole attitude and the whole kind of mindset will change. But it is very worrying. Yeah.
Yeah, this is what I continue to struggle with: is the identity of who are we as a team, right? I think the fan base expects, and our mindset is, we're an attacking team that we get out there and we go after, right? We run, but maybe that's not who we are now, and maybe we have to get, you know, those, when you go through those five stages of grief, the last one is like resolution after you go through disbelief and all that. Maybe we have to resolve the fact that we are a sit back team and a defense, I guess it's defensive minded. We are, maybe that's just not who we are. And I would be a little sad with that reality that that's not who we are. I don't have a direct answer to your question because I'm still struggling with how to define our identity, right? To say, yeah, well, maybe we just need more time to come into our own as an attacking team would be wonderful. That's the way I would love to see it. But I'm on the fence as to whether that's the reality of Forest now. Is it that we are just not that now under our current leadership? And, you know, last time we talked, it was in Sovereign We Trust, right? If I'm going to hold out to that proclamation that I gave a little while ago, I think I need to understand better what that means in terms of what is Forest now. And I honestly, I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to come across as a flip-flopper because, yes, we, you know, you, Jordan, and I were all talking about Sabri in glowing terms and Sabri We Trust. That was just 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think he and this team need to be given some time this season. That being said, I don't know if you guys saw his post-game interview with Colin Frey. He was obviously being questioned about the performance and about the fact that the team didn't have shots on target, that the team was playing one way until QPR scored the opener, and then all of a sudden we went into high gear, and what was that about? And Sabri responded, he said, you know, we just need to be more, and there was a really long pause, and he said, need to be more, and I was almost kind of shouting at him, more creative, play with more tempo, with more urgency. And I was waiting for this word. I was waiting for the right word, vibrancy. What? And he ended up saying pragmatic.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on. Is that our identity? Pragmatism. It's pragmatism. It's pragmatism that leads you to getting no shots on target. I understand. I think part of that maybe is lost in translation. I think when he's talking about pragmatism, I think he's saying, you know, we need to maintain our structure. We each need to do our jobs. We need to, you know, not lose our heads. All of that is fine. But the way that it comes across, or it came across to me, and by your responses, guys, it appears to have come across to you, is nothing's wrong. It's like, no, we need to light a fire under the players' asses, right? We need to get them, come on, you know, we need to go in and kill this next game. We need to go out there and just batter. Who's up next? Cardiff, right? So I don't know. I don't know that I'm hearing from, I think I would be more tolerant of the results and I'd be more inclined to give the team time to evolve and develop because we have a lot of new players. If I felt like, to your point, Wes, what the end game, you know, the identity that Sabri's looking to create was this swashbuckling, attacking, you know, quick passing, neat triangle type Nottingham Forest. And instead, I'm worried that it's this ponderous, slow, let's keep our shape, structure is the most important thing, let's try not to concede type Nottingham Forest. I don't know. I mean, Holly, am I way off base here?
No, not at all. I mean, being pragmatic doesn't get you promoted.
Ooh, I like that. Goals. I might go on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Can I have the copyright now? But it doesn't. I mean, I think at the end of the day, we all want to see really exciting attacking football. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is kind of the Forest way. But I mean, that was the Forest way a long time ago. And that's a very good point, Wes. You know, it's like, what is our identity now? And, you know, I couldn't tell you what it is at all. I mean, people use that, I'm not going to swear, but a certain type of delaying football tactics that we saw last season, especially from the goalkeeper. But we've got those options. You know, I remember last season, our dearly beloved, now departed, Mr. Cash, on one side with Mr. Lolly and Yuri Vero and Amiibi on the other, just bombing it up the wings. I love that kind of football, playing it into Graben. You know, I think we've also got to allow a bit of time for everyone to kind of bed in, the new signings to bed in. But I don't know what our identity is either. But I know that I want to see us come in at teams. I don't want us just to be playing this nice United sit back tentative kind of stuff. We've got the players. We've got the, you know, we've got the flair. We just got to use it, you know. And that's why people have been begging for Carvalho. And I mean, I'm still on the fence with that one. I don't know how you guys feel going forward with whether he should be sold or whether we should be still giving him another chance. Obviously, he wasn't even in the squad yesterday, but.
We'll come on to that in just a moment. We'll talk about players who weren't there in just a moment and what difference they could have made. You know, I know Carvo wasn't a Sabri acquisition, but he apparently still is in the mix, right? So if you consider Carvo, Freeman, if you look at Graben, Taylor, Mighton, Da Costa, Amiobi, Lolly, you know, these are players that Sabri's either recruited or he believes in. And it almost feels to me like Sabri Lamouchi, the recruiter, is like more ambitious, more attack minded, more out there than Sabri Lamouchi, the match day manager. It feels like we've got a Jekyll and Hyde thing going on here. It's like you did recruiting that got the fan base excited. We were all like, yes, now we have players who can get those additional goals, right? You can give Graben the support he didn't have last year. And yet it's almost like Sabri Lamouchi, the recruiter, has now handed these players over to Sabri Lamouchi, the manager, and the manager almost doesn't seem to know what to do with them or doesn't want to deploy them.
And there's nothing worse for a team than trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Right? If you have these players that are of that mindset and then you get them here and flip that script on them, it's a recipe for disaster. But, Mark, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but what I was saying earlier about accepting maybe who we are and about that being so difficult, you expressed that exactly what I was saying when you said, I listened to Sabri's comments and I heard him say pragmatic, but you know what? He really didn't mean pragmatic. He meant something else by that. And that's that whole thing trying to rationalize it ourselves. No, that's not who we really are. We're really this. But maybe we are that. So you just made me even more confused about who we are by your whole statement.
Well, let's focus on some of the positives from the match. So I put out a poll and asked our followers on Twitter to pick out man of the match. And in doing so, you know, sometimes I struggle to come up with four names, which is as many as you can have on a Twitter poll. But I actually felt like the four names I selected were pretty worthy. I thought all four had decent performances. I went for Amiobi, Blackett, Freeman, and Colback. I'll tell you, the result of our Twitter poll was Freeman was the overwhelming winner with 50% of the vote. Amiobi came in at 27%, Blackett at 15%, and Colback at 6%. What do you guys think? What do you think about the individual performances? Was I right highlighting those four players? Were there other players that you felt like played particularly well against QPR?
Yeah, I mean, I think Freeman, for me, real potential. I was a bit disappointed when he came off, but obviously he's probably not completely match fit, having not played for a while with Sheffield United. But yeah, he looked like something different that we kind of really need in that role. I thought Amiobi looked really good when he came on. Saying he looked, I didn't actually watch the game, I listened to it.
he did look good.
Good. I'll take your word for it. Yeah, I mean, I think all the new guys, you know, seemed to do their jobs. Colback again, sounded like he was up for it, but sounded like we kind of missed a kind of Watson sort of pinging diagonals kind of ball sort of scenario, which, I don't know, I guess Colback's kind of, again, he's not played football for a while, has he? So they just need some time to bed in, and I think once they kind of figure each other out as well, then hopefully we'll progress and be a bit more positive. But I think Luke Freeman, for me, would probably get my man of the match.
Okay.
Freeman's a great choice, and of course, like you said, the overwhelming majority, but I go back to Amiobi again because of the difference that the team became when he came on the field, right? To me, picking the man of the match is who changed the game during the match. And to me, there was just such a different Forrest that was on the pitch before and after he came on. To me, having him just made it didn't help the result, but it certainly made the difference in the match.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that Amiobi changed the tempo. He definitely did. He got folks fired up, and Forrest looked a completely different entity once he took to the field. I don't know why that is, guys. I don't know if that's something that comes from the manager, if that's literally just the other players feeding off of his energy. It's funny watching Amiobi. He looks to me like a combination of a park footballer. Holly, you know what I'm talking about when I say that.
Yeah.
Player from the 1970s and one of those inflatable wind men that kind of flops around on the side of the highway. Yeah. The way he runs, the things he does, they're so unorthodox. Sometimes he looks so outdated to me. He looks like a player, like I said, he's from three decades ago. And you're like, how are defenders not defending that? Like, I could read what he was about to do there. Other times he does stuff that just seems inconceivable. Like, physically doesn't seem like the human body can do those things. But he is so much fun to watch. And there's no doubt that he took things to another level. I'm struggling only because I absolutely recognize his influence, but I really thought that Blackett had a really, really good debut. I'm actually going to come on to talking more about the defense here in just a moment off the back of my Blackett comments, but I was really, really impressed with his composure. I was really impressed with his distribution. I was really impressed. I knew he was a good defender, but I was really impressed with his willingness to get up the field and maybe not be like on the end of things in the way that Cashy would be, but to at least be involved in keeping the ball moving. Of course, he did deliver a dangerous cross in the first half for our best and only opportunity with that lolly header. So I think Blackett might edge it for me. But talking more broadly about the defense, one thing that really jumped out at me with a Figueiredo penalty, obviously that was just a mess, right? He got caught the wrong side of his man. He made a bad decision. You could kind of see that coming a mile off. But I think that flagged to me the lack of pace in defense when Ribeiro isn't there. If you look at Worrell, if you look at Figs, Blackett is quick, but he's not rapid. I like Gabriel, and I thought Gabriel did a good job again, but I would say he's quick, not rapid. I would like to see in the next game, Blackett move into center defense alongside Worrell at the expense of Figueiredo. I'm quite happy to see Gabriel stay at right back. I think he looks a little green and I think he's going to get exposed. But, you know, he was up against arguably the best player on the field yesterday in Osei Samuel, who I thought was awesome. And I've always liked Samuel. And I thought he was really, really good. And I thought Gabriel got caught a couple of times, but by and large, he held his own against a really seasoned pro and somebody who is properly rapid. So I'd be okay with Gabriel staying at right back for right now and then have Ribeiro come in at left back. Again, Sabri's comments after the match were interesting, right? When asked about Ribeiro, he said, no, he wasn't injured. that was simply a selection decision. We didn't pick him, and it was probably the wrong decision. Which, again, is really interesting. You don't often hear managers say that. So I don't know. What do you guys think about our defense? And what do you feel about those changes I just suggested?
Yeah, I'm with you, Mark, for the most part, except I probably keep Figs around. I know that
he's a liability.
Yeah. He got caught. I mean, and it happens to the best of us. I remember my days on the pitch. No, I never had days on the pitch.
You can't transfer over to soccer what happens in American football, Wes.
I thought it was interesting because I watched on iFollow, and I thought it was interesting after that penalty was called. He didn't even have much of a reaction. You know, he didn't like try to even fight that thing. He's like, yeah, you got
it. He looked pissed off. It was funny. He was just like, whatever.
Well, nobody wants to get called, of course. But I mean, he didn't go after the refs with the kind of fervor you see like a lot of people trying to argue that whole thing down, right? So I think he took his lumps on that one. I think I keep him around. I don't see him as a liability. Yeah. I think if you're basing that play as him being a liability, I just think that was just damn bad luck.
See, I think he has looked off the pace for several games now. I don't know. Holly, am I reading this wrong?
No, I have to agree with you there. I mean, I don't think we should completely, come down too heavy on him for yesterday. Everyone knew it was a pen and these things happen, but I agree. I think the last few games, he's looked a little bit off the boil. Something's not been quite right. He looked quite leggy, actually, in the last few games last season. Mm-hmm. So I would be quite for sort of maybe bringing Blackett alongside Worrell. I think he played there for Reading, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
I think that might be his more natural position. So I'll be interested to see how he gets on pairing with Worrell. I mean, I have always been a big fan of Figs. I think he's a great traditional kind of central defender, and he's done a really good job in that position. But I'd be quite keen to see something a bit different for the next game, personally.
Yeah.
Wait, Holly, I thought the plan was for everything that Mark said, you and I were going to go against it.
Oh, damn. Sorry. I forgot that memo.
You broke form here, old.
Big Wes just likes, he likes being contrary to me unless Jordan's on the podcast. And then he and I always gang up on Jordan. So we're throwing our dynamic off here a little bit. A couple of other quick observations, guys. Man, we have more crosses than Easter out there. I mean, we need to convert some of these crosses. I lost count of how many times.
That took a while to get to me, like one of those crosses. I can't get that.
But I'd love to see us go on the end of some of those. And I think it was Colin Frey who suggested that Lyle Taylor might be the man to do that. So I guess we'll get to see that at some point, right? We'll get to see the Taylor on the end of one of those crosses at some point. But certainly the ball was going across the face of the goal. And when Graben's looking as rusty as it is, you need somebody else who can convert, especially when the ball's in the air. So I'd like to see a lot more of that. The thing I think the most frustrated me transitioning away from defense and now into midfield, and to your point regarding Freeman, Holly, who did look really good, is that for me, this has been an issue with Forest now for at least half a season, arguably long stretches of last season, maybe not going back to the beginning of last season, but for too long, Forest have looked too one-dimensional. I talked a lot last season about thrusts from midfield, right? The ability to carry the ball out of midfield, to break through those lines, either with the ball at your feet or with that cutting pass that takes out three opposition players and sets, you know, your winger or your striker in behind the defense. Still not seeing that. And I know we're two games in, it's the first league game of the season, but I'm wondering now, you know, we've had Carvo in there, we've had Silver in there, we now have Freeman in there, and by in there, I mean in the advanced midfield spot. I don't really know what Sabri sees that as. I don't think he sees it as a number 10 spot. It almost feels to me like that player is being asked to play in the center of the park with two defensive midfielders almost holding hands with the two center backs. Everything seems so compressed. I'd like to see that player, whether it's Freeman or Carvo or whoever it is, further up the field to begin with. But then I also want to see them being encouraged either to carry the ball or to break lines with those passes. I'm not seeing that. And everything looked one-dimensional. So to my point about crosses, yeah, we had some great crosses come in. We really did. We didn't take advantage of any of them. And by the way, that was all that we did. Everything went wide. Everything got chucked in the mixer. Everything got cleared. So to me, that's a real problem. To me, that's the Chinese puzzle here that needs breaking. Like, we need, either Sabri needs to change something in terms of what he's asking the players to do, or in terms of the way the team formation is organized, or those, one of those players needs to take that on his own shoulders and be like, you know what, I'm going to try and play this 20-25 yard diagonal ball through and break lines and take a risk. It's going to get intercepted and the ball's going to get turned over and we're just going to have to work our asses off to get back. I don't know. Again, this is one man's observation, guys, so I'd appreciate your take on that. But it's really starting to frustrate me how everything is just getting played around, pushed out wide, crossed to the box, cleared, and we start again.
Yeah, we seemed last season to heavily rely on the whole lolly cutting. But we haven't even, I mean, he's been a little bit off the ball as well. I think he might be slightly injured. But yeah, I know what you mean. We're very one-dimensional in that final third. Very predictable. And I think teams have really kind of sussed us out. There isn't that killer pass, that sort of playing off the shoulder, kind of cutting through defences. And where's that going to come from this season? I mean, for me, I think that's what Carvalho was brought in for originally, was to be that kind of player. Gravin's just not getting the service. And as you say, it looks like we're just doing this kind of long ball crossing without the man. Okay, maybe Lyle Taylor's going to be that man, fingers crossed, and I'm really excited to see what he can do for us this season. But yeah, we need other options. And I'd like to know whether Sabri, what Sabri's thinking is here. If he's just completely against that kind of play, he's just kind of a one-dimensional kind of manager, or whether we do have that in our locker or not. I mean, I want to see that kind of, that's the Forest that I really want to see. And I think we could be at our best if we kind of, we have got the players that we can do that with, but we're just not seeing it at the moment. It's another frustration. Definitely agree with you, Mark.
I see both of you guys' point, but I'm also wondering, is this conversation different if Gravin converts two of those that were right in front of him, right? Mm-hmm. So I agree. If we can, and by we, I mean the Royal We, you guys mostly, can articulate what we are and our style of play that easily, then surely other scouts and coaches, know exactly what the deal is, right? Yeah. They know how to play for us. So I agree that we need something that makes us harder to even plan for on paper, because that sounds like it's pretty easy to say, here's our game plan for us. Because we're one-dimensional and here's all we got. But
yeah, I mean, it's a good point. But again, when you have the litany of attacking talent that we have at our disposal now, is it reasonable to rely on another season of Gravin just pulling something out of his ass?
Yeah.
Right, as he was able to do 20 times last season. And it's not. And, I don't want to get into the changing the manager conversation, but I can't help it. We're one game into the league season, but I can't help but allow my mind to wander and think, what would Mr. X, Eddie Howe, do with these players, right? What would this team look like? How would it be set up? What options would be available to us in terms of our attacking play? So hopefully we don't have to have that conversation here over the next couple of pods, because we do pick up. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And it all comes back very neatly, Wes, to your opening comments about our identity. And hopefully we'll see that develop here over the next couple of games. Guys, I always want to focus on the players who are on the field rather than those who aren't. But closing out the book on QPR, I do have to ask you, were any of the players who were missing from the starting 11 or even the match day squad, would they have made a difference? I'm thinking about Ribeiro. I'm thinking about So, Carvo. Obviously, we've talked about Bashiru, even Ben Watson. What do we think?
I don't think, honestly, players would make the difference. I think game plan makes a difference in this instance. I think if you take the players off that we had on and substitute them for any of those guys that you made under the same game plan, we damn near get the same result.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've got real depth to the squad now, I think. Got players in the same positions, but have got a little bit extra to their game that the others haven't. And I think at the moment, it's all about mentality.
Mm.
There's something hanging, not to keep going on about hangover, but there is something hanging over us. There's a confidence.
Did you have a heavy night last night, Holly?
Possibly, yeah. I was trying to keep that a secret. I don't think I did very well, did I? It's quite obvious. Look, we've got the players. We really have got the players. Just got to get them playing, really. We've got some really, really good players. We've made some great buys this season. We've really strengthened the squad. Really astute kind of signings. It's all about getting in their heads and getting them playing the right way and getting them playing together and playing to whatever game plan it is that we've got. And let's face it, we're not really sure what that is. Mm. Do they know what that is? Mm. But in terms of a player that I might have changed, possibly, as I said earlier, with Ben Watson and his sort of his diags. But other than that, I can't really think of anyone particularly at this stage that really, really stands out that I would have changed. But yeah, I think it's all about mentality, definitely.
Yeah, for the record, I would have found some place for Ribeiro. I felt like that was a big omission. I think any of the other players, it's probably a like-for-like switch. You know, you bring in Carvo, you take out Freeman. Are you really gaining anything? You bring in So, you take out, you know, Yates or Colback. I think Ben Watson does have something a little different. I agree with you, Holly. But for me, Ribeiro was the big miss. But, you know, would he have made that much of a difference? No. I mean, I don't think he would have done. I don't think our major issue was at left back, right? So, but it would have been nice to have had that pace back there.
It was interesting that he came out on Twitter after the game and sort of confirmed that he wasn't injured and that he was available for selection. So, yeah, that's quite interesting.
It is.
Make of that what you will.
Yeah, you don't see that very often. And I'd love to see him take up that Matty Cash mantle this season. I think he has the ability to do it. And I think he was playing conservatively last season because Cash was bombing up the right-hand side of the field so frequently. Yeah, you can't have both your fullbacks doing that at the same time. But it'd be interesting. Be interesting to see if he's involved in the next team and how he performs. And we'll come on to the next games here in just a moment with our predictions. Before we do that, though, we have to give the final word on QPR and all things Forest these last couple of weeks to our friend Silverdale.
Silverdale in the USA. Silverdale in the USA. Hi, this is Chris Buck, and you're listening to Silverdale. Hi, this is Philippe Montagnier, and I love Silverdale. And I'm Dale Silver. Hey up me ducks, it's Dale Silver here, aka Silverdale, aka at Dale Silver Mate on Twitter. Thank you for having me back, Forest Fancast. I know that last time I was here, I was mildly xenophobic with the introduction music, so I respect and thank you for looking past that. We've just played Queen's Park Rangers in our first game of the season, first league game. We also had a game against Barnsley in the Worthington Carabao Cup thing. No one cares about really, do they? But didn't stop me having a meltdown on Twitter, so we'll consider it. I just thought I'll use this first episode, my first episode, as a way of just discussing what's happened so far. Before we do, though, I just wanted to have a quick look at the transfer business that we've done this summer.
Transfer business!
Jack Cole back into the club for the third time, like a bad relationship. We just keep, hoping it'll work out. I think he was good the first two times, which almost definitely means he's going to be terrible this time, but I'm still glad to have him. The Ginger Perlo, as he was branded. I'm not sure he's a Ginger Perlo. He's perhaps a ginger Gary Gardner, but that's not a bad thing either. So yeah, glad to have him back. We've signed some lad from PSG I've never heard of, and neither of you. You might pretend you do, but you just Wikipedia'd like him like I did. Some lad from Malmo, who I genuinely have never even set eyes on, not even on Football Manager or FIFA. So this bodes well. We've also bought Luke Freeman, who a lot of people will know, people that watch Championship football. I personally don't. I've not actually seen the game sober since I was about 16, so I don't really know anything about football. But I'm glad to have. I trust the masses on Twitter. They're always very reliable, and they seem to think he's a good signing. So I'm going to go with that. A few high-profile exits as well. Obviously, the biggest of them being Liam Bridcut, who's decided to join Lincoln City on a permanent deal. We all wish Liam the very best, possibly the best player I've ever seen. Yeah. And we've also lost Costel Pantilimon, who I think was very harshly treated by the club. I liked him because he was big. And then, of course, the one that slipped a lot of people's attention, which is the transfer of Matty Cash to Aston Villa. Nothing really to say about that other than I wish him the best of luck. I did, of course, award Matty Cash an instalment of my awful I'm Not Crying, You Are series. He liked it, which is weird because I'd say it to James Blunt. It was a terrible video. I did it purely for likes and retweets, which is why I do everything on Twitter. I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to do something for the fans. It's just about my ego. And it worked, and he liked it, so good stuff. Actual football, sorry, I know no one wants to hear about it, but the actual football. So we started out away at Barnsley in the Carabao Cup, and we lost that game 1-0. We were awful. Truly, truly awful, as we have been for a long time now. And I know probably even on this podcast, there'll be people trying to find a positive angle or trying to be, you know, not overreact, not have a meltdown. Well, fuck that. I will fucking not do that. We were fucking shit. That was one of the worst fucking performances I've ever fucking seen in my fucking life. I have nothing good to say about that away performance at Barnsley. I know it's the cup. I know it doesn't fucking matter, but it was shit. It really fucking was, and it was dreadful. So we move on to the game against QPR, which was I have never seen such a big pile of shit in my fucking life. I honestly, watching this Forest team, and I don't know if it's due to Sabri, I don't know if the team are lacking in confidence a bit. I'm not actually sure what the cause of it is, but they are the most boring team I've seen since previous manager Martin O'Neill. Forest have become increasingly boring over the last few years. And I think the decline starts after Philip Montagna was ruthlessly and unfairly sacked. To bring in a manager like Karanka, a defensive manager.
The Fawaz era is never coming back, get over it.
And then followed by Martin O'Neill and then Sabri. It just feels as if the club are trying to bore us to death. Because I know there are positives. I'm not stupid. I know that last season's... I am stupid. But I know that last season's finish was higher than in previous years. I know there's been improvements. I know there's positives. But I cannot remember the last time I was less enthusiastic about watching a Forest side. Thank God I watched them all on illegal streams and I don't have to pay any money to see it. Because if I'd actually paid real money to watch this, I'm not going to keep swearing because I have to edit it out and it takes ages. But if I'd had to pay money to watch that yesterday...
Maybe you're overreacting.
Yeah, maybe I am, and it is the first two games of the season, and it is important to maintain some perspective. But if you look at that run over the last, 15, 20 games, we are awful. We are actually awful. And I know it takes time for the team to click, gel, etc., etc., but come on, can't we just be entertaining? I judge Forest almost entirely on the Twitter content I can get out of it. And at the moment, there is so little I can get out of this. I did a tweet referring to the match-fixing allegations against our owner, Evangelos Marinakis. And that's truly how I feel. We were promised match-fixing. We were promised referees being intimidated. Where is this? What is happening? Why are we not seeing this? Come on. When we... look, I know we're ran by the...
Dale, they're just allegations. Delete that bit, because you could end up in court.
That's fine, but can we at least see the fruits of it? Seriously, what is this? obviously people say, oh, you know, there's huge improvements since Fouaz. Oh, it's so much better now that Fouaz isn't running the club. Oh, it's just, honestly, oh, it's incredible. Fouaz was ruining the club. Oh, the club is a terrible place under Fouaz. Well, if the club is in a terrible place, they're in the EFL Championship, where we still are. So really, what's the difference? Other than everyone gets paid on time, which is something, I guess. I suppose to conclude, you can't really judge a season before you've played 10, 15 games. There's just so much that can happen, but I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm really not optimistic about the season. I hope I am wrong. I really, really do hope I'm wrong. And I hope that Luke Freeman and Lyle Taylor, I hope they come in and score some goals. Because if not, my alcoholism's going to get a lot worse. My tweets are going to be more cynical. And in general, the club, it will be a less happy place. Anyway, till next time. Cheers.
All right, guys. So if you enjoyed those observations from Silverdale, check him out at Dale Silver Mate on the old Tweety. And we'll have more of his inane ramblings as we make our way through the season. Appreciate his contribution to the pod. Guys, let's transition to and close out this pod with predictions. So disappointing start to the season, but there's always the next game, right? And we're going to look at the next two, in fact, starting with our league home opener at the City Ground. Unfortunately, the supporterless City Ground for the time being, at least, against Cardiff, which is a pretty tough match to transition to. But we know that last season, Forest did well, generally speaking, against more difficult opposition. So how are they going to do on September the 19th? Holly, what are your thoughts?
I'm feeling positive. We're back at home. Always helps, although without the crowds, obviously, it's not quite the same. But they know they've got to put it right. They know more than ever that we need a win now, just to get that win on the board, just to get that confidence up. So I'm feeling positive. I don't think it's going to be a highly scoring game. A 1-0 win, we'll get that 1-0 and we'll see the game out. Our colossal defence will up their gear and come into play, and we'll see the game out and we'll win 1-0.
So we are back at home. Our home record last season wasn't great. Wes, is that going to have a bearing on the result? What are you going for?
No, here. I'm with Holly. 1-0. We keep a clean sheet. We play off pride, if nothing else, right? Grabin actually connects this time. He's gonna miss one or two, but one of them is gonna connect this time. I got faith in. I'm with Holly. 1-0.
All right, guys. We actually gave our predictions, I think, to the NFFCNA folks over email, or at least I did. I instantly forgot what I said, which anyone who listened to the pod last season will know that's par for the course for me. I don't take these things too seriously, but it's all in a bit of fun. I can't remember what I put on the official predictions, but I'm feeling a Forest 2-1, which I think might be what I told Dan and co, but 2-1 to the Reds. So we're all going for a Reds victory. We certainly need it. Then on September 26th, we have a tough away game as well against Huddersfield, who, you know, they're not one of the strongest teams in the division, but they're always the one we struggle against. Very robust, in, you know, kind of in your face. And you certainly know you played against them. Forest's recent record against Huddersfield hasn't been great, and with it being an away game. But again, we did well on the road last season, so who knows?
I think this is going to be a tough one. I just want to say, I'm glad that Dear Carby might be starting for the opposition and not ourselves. Just leave that there. I think we'll be good for a point. I think we'll come out of the win against Cardiff. We'll be positive. As you say, we've been really good away from home. Our away record's been really good. So I'm going for a 1-1 draw with that one.
This makes me nervous to admit that I'm not feeling very optimistic about this one. I have this premonition of the weather being crappy, just the general attitude. I of course, I always want us to come out on top, but I see us dropping this one maybe 2-0.
Oof. Yeah. Okay. Well, again, I can't remember what I actually submitted as my official prediction, but I'm going with a 1-1. Interestingly, both Cardiff and Huddersfield lost their opening games as well. Cardiff lost 2-0 to Sheffield Wednesday. There's no shame in that. It's perhaps a little surprising, but Sheffield Wednesday are a decent team. Huddersfield lost to recently relegated Norwich, but only by a single goal. By the time Forest play Huddersfield, Huddersfield would have also played Brentford. So it'll be interesting to see how that match pans out as well. I mean, Brentford probably aren't the team they were last year. Obviously, they've lost a couple of key players here in this last week and a half, which is really a crying shame. So desperately sad for them. But I can see Huddersfield getting something out of that Brentford game. And so I think it's going to be tough for Forest. But again, I'm going to stay with my 1-1. I have to be honest, Wes, I'm feeling you. I am feeling you in your prediction, but I can't go there. So 1-1 it is.
It was hard to even get that out of my mouth.
All right, guys. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for your observations. Thank you for going through that cathartic exercise of talking about QPR. It's definitely tough to be a Forest fan. Why on earth did you choose Forest, Wes?
Colbeck's hair.
Wes, you look like you're trying to get there, brother.
Yeah, he wasn't around for the early days, but still, that guy had great hair.
Oh, good grief. All right, guys. Well, let's finish the pod.
Yeah!